And now if you will turn with me to Luke, the second chapter, we're going to read that very well-known account of the birth of the Savior. Going to read the first 20 verses of Luke chapter 2. Now hear the word of God. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Cornelius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angel had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And now the verses that we will be particularly looking at this morning. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things which they had heard and seen, as it was told them. Thus far the reading of God's most holy word. Well, here we are. Once again, Christmas Day. You know, from a human perspective, Christmas has come to be a fairly significant event. Whether we're looking at all of the economics of it, whether we're looking at all of the celebration and all of the travel and all of the other things that go with this day, not only in our nation, but across the globe. It is an event which we count on from year to year. It is a particularly exciting event for the young children. For some of us who have gone through this event year upon year upon year, it perhaps loses its excitement just a little bit. It is the marking, in a sense, of the end of yet another year, and all that goes along with that. And, you know, as the years go by, There are different ways of celebrating come and go. We wonder what Christmas will be like next year. And yet, in reality, the real Christmas, the celebrating of the birth of Christ, or taking note of the birth of Christ, does not come and go. It is not a reoccurring event. It is the one great important event, one-time event, which is equally important every day of your life. Now this, of course, historically begun in Scripture, in fact, a sense of marking and taking note of certain great events of salvation which God has accomplished that we should take note of. And so it is good that we celebrate and take note of the fact that God has sent His Son to be our Savior, to remind ourselves what that is really all about. And you know, to do that, perhaps no better way to remember particularly what this is really all about is to note specifically how the shepherds of old, when they heard the announcement by the angels of the birth of the Son of God, to note how they responded, first of all, to the news and what they did with it. In fact, what I thought we would do this morning is to take just a little trip with the shepherds, as that is recorded for us in the Gospel of Luke. Now the shepherds, when they heard the announcement of the birth of the Savior, note, they did not just say, "Great, let's have a celebration. Let's make a big special meal." They went to see Jesus. They went to see Jesus. Why? You know, when a new baby is born, there's a curiosity. We like to see the child as it first becomes known, and especially in a family situation. There is a curiosity, and certainly there is something very special about the events that the angel or that the shepherds heard concerning the birth of this baby. The message is, first of all, the message in a very extraordinary sort of way. If you can imagine what that might have been like. So the first part that you want to think about in your trip this morning with the angels, with the shepherds, is to see the angels in the sky. The message there is, in fact, the culmination of all of the promises and all of the revelation of the good news which they had been told, in fact, for centuries, of the promise, starting with Adam and Eve, of the seed of the woman. We have all seen newborn babies. Newborn babies bring a smile to our face. There's just something special about that. It is always pleasant. It is an attractive thing to do.
the shepherds went to see Jesus. They went to see Jesus, the Christ child. You know, it is the God of love, the God of creation, who by His grace has sent His Son, the second person of the Trinity, there in those humble circumstances, laying in that manger. And as the recipient of this grace, we who know Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have received all kinds of tremendous gifts and benefits, the least of which is not eternal life, of course. But first of all, understand that God saved and sent His Son that God might have Himself a people. You know, God created man to have fellowship with man, a reflection of who God is. There is a fellowship between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a oneness, a community. And God, because of who He is, created man and put him in the garden so that he might have fellowship with man. It is the fall into sin which broke that, severed that relationship. Even as God responded to Adam and Eve as they experienced the reality of what they had done, that their tie with the source of life is cut off, they are dead in sin, and God comes to them with the hope of the seed of the woman to crush the head of the serpent. God responds to Adam and Eve, and they experience the reality of sin. The promise of the restoration is there in the midst. Before we actually start traveling with the shepherds to the manger, to the stable, to the manger, set aside that for just a moment and imagine in your mind Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, having known what it is to have life in the presence of God, having fellowship with the God who's the source of life, being fully aware now of what they had done, that is cut off, and yet hearing then that life is in fact by God's grace restored through the seed of the woman, and yet they're put out of the garden. They're severed from their tie with God. And even a burning flame is put there that they cannot restore with God. And now the faithful God, the faithful people of God, separated from God all these years. Yes, they were continued by the grace of God and provided for communication with God through the various means of sacrifice and tabernacle and temple and all that went with that throughout the Old Testament for these many, many years. And now, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:14. It is because of Christ and all that goes with the reality of the work of salvation that makes it possible that we can now once again come into the very presence of God and see Him, even as the angels did in the stable, face to face with God. The only response for the people of God through the birth of Christ is to see God face to face, that is, to worship Him. Now, I don't know specifically what the scene looked like in that stable when the angels came and laid their eyes on this baby Jesus laying in the manger. It was not certainly a worship service like we are having here this morning. But it was God. The incarnate Christ. And they saw Him. Not through a veil. Not the backside as Moses did, but they saw Him face to face. In Christ, in the seed of the woman, God and man are now once again in fellowship, face to face. There are many aspects of what salvation is all about. There is much to celebrate and enjoy in the light of the birth of the Savior. And indeed, what a unique experience that was for the shepherds. But for your acknowledgement and celebration of the birth of Christ, that celebration, above all else, must be that now you and I can see Jesus. Not just in the sense that we know Him in our hearts and our convictions that He is our Savior, but that you have that deep desire and that you can see Jesus even face to face as you worship Him Lord's Day after Lord's Day and the proclamation of the Word of God, that you can, if that is not what the essence is all about, then I'm not sure what Christmas you're celebrating. To say, Jesus is my Savior. Let me say this again very carefully. To say, Jesus is my Savior. I celebrate the birth of Christ. Is to say that the most important thing of all things, allowing nothing else ultimately to get in the way, is that I worship Him. As the angel, as the shepherds came and saw Jesus. Truly, the Word became flesh and dwelt in our midst. By the Word proclaimed, we see Jesus. Not only as the Savior, but the one whom we worship, and we see Him as we gather together in that most complete and intimate face-to-face meeting with God. And yet, that's not all that the shepherds did. As we continue to read, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And now when they had seen Him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. Not that there are two different things that they are doing. I think the language requires us to see and to avoid this all too often sort of separation between seeing Jesus and telling about Jesus. You will remember several weeks ago we were reminded of the faithfulness of God in Exodus chapter 2, when the children of Israel in slavery in Egypt, just out of the weight of that slavery, were groaning, and God remembered His covenant. That is, He was faithful, that He heard the groaning of the Israelites. What we are observing today, Christmas Day, the birth of the Savior, is the fulfillment of the faithful covenant God, of the promises which He made, which were planned in eternity. You see, these shepherds, remember, These are the people to whom for centuries the message had come of God's promise of salvation, and now they see it in reality. Their response is a response to the message. That's what this book is all about. It is the message of God. That's what He spoke about when He started with Adam and Eve in terms of the promise of the seed of the woman. They had learned, they had received revelation, they had heard of the promise to fulfill the covenant. So while there is celebration and joy, there is revelation from God. God, the Word of God, became and dwelt in our midst. And what did they do with that? The Word became flesh. What did they do with that? Yes, they worshiped, which is, of course, when man comes in the presence of God and fellowship with Him, he worships. But did they sit on that? Did they say, well, you know, if we leave this stable where we're going to go and tell people that a baby born to a virgin is going to be our Savior, they're going to laugh at us. They might even get angry and harm us. So we better be quiet and just go back home. We know He's there. We know we saw Him, and that's what's important. Of course not. That's not at all what they happened. They made that message widely known. For the connection between the things that we see, the worshiping of God, cannot be separated from what we tell that we have seen. There is no thought here to look at this in somewhat, if I may, this sort of manner. Well, I know Christ. I know that means I am saved, and that's really important, and I'm grateful for that. And sure, I would like for others to join with me in all of that, to have that same celebration. But that's secondary to my faith. No. It's not what we saw. That's not what the shepherds saw or did. There is a disconnect there, all too prevalent in American Christianity, not so with the shepherds. For them to see Jesus and going and telling others was one and the same. What they understood is that this is the work of God. This is not just seeing another baby. This is not just because I'm smart enough to go and see Jesus. This is not just about, well, if they want to see Jesus, they can do so. They got to figure that out for themselves. I did. No. They were told by the angels of the glory of God, the peace of God. They saw this is what God had done. Not about what they had done or what others ought to do. They heard the angels, they came to see Jesus, and they actually saw Jesus. Not because of themselves, but this is what had been planned in eternity, promised for centuries. They could not but tell others. This was not something they could go and worship God to know and believe in their hearts and keep it to themselves. To see Christ, congregation, is to tell of Christ. You know, the shepherds. The shepherds were considered to be of the lowest level of society. They were a poor, uneducated people. They did not have much standing at all in the world around them. It is not that they know people and they knew that if they were going to say something, people would listen because of their standing. Not at all. The opposite is the case. But notice what it says about their making known of the work of God. All those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherd.
And even before that, in verse 17, we read, widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. You see, what they told of Christ is not what they discovered. What they told of Christ is what had been revealed to them. The revelation of the good news, when you know Christ, you have received the good news. Listen to what the writer to the Hebrews says in chapter 1, verse 1, that God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophet, has in these last days spoken by his Son. Well, they saw the Son, the Word, become flesh. That's what they told. They made known the message which had been revealed since the beginning. It is still the message by which Jesus is seen. They came, they worshiped, they saw Jesus, and they made known that message. Christ has come. And all those who heard it marveled. Whom do you see? What do you see? You know, the gospel, the message of the good news that Christ has been sent to take our sins and pay for them, to restore us to life, to know and to be once again in full fellowship with God, to be at one with God someday in eternity, dwelling in the midst of God. That gospel, planned in eternity in the sovereign mind of God, revealed in time beginning with Adam and Eve and throughout all of the history of revelation and promise, that Christ has become real when that promise became real when Christ was born. Christ became flesh, and we behold him. We see him. And for that to be real for you is to worship him and to make him known. That's what we celebrate, that we are restored, we see God, and through us, God is seen and testified to in this world. That's the story of Christmas, and that's what we celebrate today with the shepherds. Let us pray. Our God and Father, what a joy and what a privilege that we should see Jesus. May we see him as he dwells within us through his Spirit, but may we see him as we meet with God each Lord's Day, to call upon him, to worship him, to come face to face with life as it is restored through Christ in our relationship with God, the Creator. O Lord, we pray that you would help us in our celebration today, lead us in our celebration today, but more so, may Christmas Day truly be Christmas every day, all year round, that we see Jesus. Even as we would now lift up our voices in prayer, the prayer which he himself taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.